2 this morning, Daniel chapter number 2. We've begun this study. This is our Old Testament book that the Lord has laid on my heart to study with you, chapter by chapter, verses by verses here. And we've finished chapter 1, and we're going now into chapter number 2 of this great, great book, the book of Daniel. You'll find your place there. We'll read the opening 13 verses. I'm preaching down through verse number 30. We'll see if I can get that far today, okay? You're used to it if I don't, though, right? Daniel chapter 2, verse number 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. And the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. The king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces. And your houses shall be made a dunghill. He sounds like a kind king, doesn't he? Lord, I mean, it's gone from me. If you don't tell me what it was and tell me what it means, I'm going to kill you. Thrilling. How'd you like to live under this man, you know? Verse 6. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Then answered again. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. If ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed, therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. It's a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. By the way, they're not talking about our God, but what they say here is true. There's not a man on the earth that can do this. It takes the supernatural beings to do this. Verse 12. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. Now here it is now. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Now if they were seeking him, that tells you he wasn't there, right? He doesn't even know what's going on. But he's considered one of the wise men in Babylon. So when this decree comes out from King Nebuchadnezzar, kill all the wise men, now they're seeking Daniel. They're seeking Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to preach to you on this subject, taken out of verse number 13, where they're seeking Daniel and his fellows. I want to preach to you on this topic, when your life is threatened. When your life is threatened, because that's exactly what's happening here. It's a matter of life and death. I mean, if something doesn't happen, they're dead. So their life is threatened, their life is being sought. And I want to preach to you on that subject today. Father, we love you this morning, and I pray that you'll help us to preach this with clarity and understanding, conviction and compassion. Challenge us, I pray. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. In our book study, this book of Daniel, we've come to a chapter that's been called the mountain peak of Bible prophecy. It's also been called the ABC, capital A, capital B, capital C of prophecy. Harry Ironside said it contains the most complete and yet the most simple prophetic picture that we have in all the Word of God. It's Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Now, we're not going to get to his dream today in our passage. That'll be another sermon. Before we get to the detail of this particular passage here and the particular details of his dream in another sermon, these opening verses of this chapter bring out some truths that are so applicable for today. In verse number 1, we see King Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, and the Bible says his spirit was troubled, and his sleep broke from him. You know, this is interesting in itself, to think of a king who was extremely powerful at this time. Major power. And at this time, he was a powerful king in history, and yet all that power did not bring him peace. He could not sleep during this time. One man put it well, and he said, his conquest did not bring to him peace of mind, but instead he was troubled about the future of his empire, wondering just how long he could maintain his grip on the then known world. Here we're reminded that power and wealth do not in themselves produce peace of mind. He who reaches for power and possessions in this life is never satisfied. The man of the world who has his portion in this life only is living for a world that is passing away. So that his assets actually become his burden. We see this. This is just introduction here, that this man is troubled. He's a king. He's powerful. But his sleep is fleeing from him. He's troubled because of this dream. And because of this dream, he commands for all the magicians, all the astrologers, all the sorcerers and Chaldeans to be called to him so they can show him the dream and the interpretation of it. He tells them if they show him his dream and the interpretation of it, that they would receive gifts and rewards and great honor. But if they did not show him his dream and the interpretation of it, they would be cut in pieces. And he said that their houses would be made a dunghill. I don't even know what all that means. I don't want to know what all that means. They asked the king to tell them his dream and they would give the interpretation of it. The king, whether he forgot it or not, because there's some debate on that because of the language here, did he literally forget it or was he testing them to see if they would know the interpretation? Or did he forget it completely? But the point is, don't miss the main thought here. The thought is that he's demanding for them to tell him his dream. Now, only God could make this dream known to this man. These astrologers, these sorcerers, these Chaldeans, these wise men even said, there's not a man upon earth that can do what you're asking, king. Now, when these people said that to the king, and they said, no man can do this. You ask too much. There's never been a king demand this. He got mad. That's not surprising when you think about it. I mean, he's already told him, I'm going to cut you in pieces and make your house a dunghill. It's not surprising that he's a man with a short temper. He gets mad. He gets upset. The Bible says he was angry and very furious, and the king commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. This decree went forth that all the wise men should be slain, and they're seeking Daniel. Now, I don't want you to think about the opening 13 verses. Daniel comes on the scene in verse 13. Now we're going to focus on Daniel and his three companions because they are being sought. Their lives are threatened during this time. The executioner had the order to kill them, and he's seeking them. Their life is threatened. Now, it is this thought that I want to dwell on. When your life is threatened, and the executioner is looking for you, how did Daniel respond? What did Daniel do? I want to give you four things in the opening. Well, from verse 14 down to verse number 30, I'm going to give you four things Daniel did when his life was threatened. When it was a matter of life or death. Now, this can apply to different things. It can apply to a sickness, if it's a matter of life and death, or it can apply to, God forbid it, in the future, if our lives are ever being sought, or our way of, listen to me, our lives may not be threatened right now, but our way of life is being threatened right now. Our freedoms are trying to be stripped from us left and right. We are under threat today. Do you understand that? We're in the minority, but really we're not, because God's on our side. Amen. And with God is the majority. Hey, we're threatened today, so we can apply these thoughts to our own lives. Now, his literal life was threatened. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe there's something threatening your life. This is the thought. In other words, things wasn't peachy. Can I put it that way? Daniel wasn't having something going on in his life where he's like, oh, look what's happening today. The executioner's looking for my head. Are you with me here? You see where I'm at? What did Daniel do when his life was threatened? Number one, Daniel showed faith in God. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse number 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Did you catch that? He's talking to the executioner. This is the man coming to kill him. And when he sees him, he stops him. He answered with counsel and wisdom. In other words, he's very wise here. By the way, he's still a young man. Many still think he's a teenager at this time. He's a young man, and he's answering with counsel and wisdom. In verse number 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. See, Daniel didn't even know what happened. Notice verse number 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time. Notice this. And that he would show the king the interpretation. Do you get where I get he has great faith in God here? Daniel didn't even know what was going on. All he knows is that his head's being hunted, and he talks to the executioner with wisdom and counsel. He says, "What's going on?" The man explains to him what happened, and Daniel goes into the king as a young man, and he says, "King, if you give me time, I'll show you the interpretation." Now stay with me here. When Daniel understood this, and when he went in and desired the king time, notice how he told the king. He didn't say, "I may tell you." He didn't say, I might tell you." No, he said, "I will show you." Here's the point. This was Daniel showing great faith in God. Because, friends, Daniel didn't know what dream was. Listen, he didn't know what the dream was. He had no idea what the dream was. But he knew God did. And he knew that God would make it known to him. One man put it this way. Daniel promised to interpret the dream before he even knew the dream. But Daniel had great faith in God and believed God could reveal the dream to him. This man goes on to say, faith sees the work done before it's done. This man, Daniel, had great faith. When his life was threatened, he just believed God. The point is, when life is threatened and hanging in the balance, this is a time to manifest great faith in God. Even through the, and I've gotten quotes here in my notes, unknown things. The unknown things. Just like it was with Daniel here. Daniel trusted his God would help. No matter what threatens our lives, God can work in it. God can work through it. And God has the answer for it. Let us believe God and have faith in God even during times when our life is threatened. This does not mean he will deliver us from death. I'm not preaching that. But it means he can be trusted to if he so desires. Number one, what did Daniel do when his life was threatened? He showed faith in God. Mark 11:22, I read this in my devotions this morning. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. When your life is threatened, that's a great time to show faith in God. Daniel did. Number two, he not only showed faith in God, but secondly, he called a prayer meeting. Boy, I like this. Look at verse number 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. This is a powerful thought right here. After the king gave Daniel some time, he called a prayer meeting. He went out and got his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He wanted them, the Bible says, to desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret that he and his companions should not perish with the rest of the wise men. Now get this. This was a young man's prayer meeting. Can I put it this way? Many think they were still teenagers. This was a bunch of teenage boys who are getting together, getting a hold of God. How many teenage boys do we have in here? Would you raise your hand, teenage boys? Yes. This, I want you to think when I'm preaching about Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, their life is threatened. They're not a senior saint. They're teenagers. And Daniel says, boys, it's time, excuse me, to either put up or shut up. It's time we understand there's no more mediocrity around here. It's time, boys, our life is on the line. It's a matter of life or death. We have got to get a hold of God Almighty. Now get this. No doubt this prayer meeting was intense. Do you think they went to God and said, oh, God, I guess if you just want to, if you could find time, give me a Coca-Cola, boys. You know, come on. You want me to tell you something? We're falling asleep in the United States of America. We are losing our religious freedoms. They're stripping them from us. They are threatening our lives, way of life. It is a matter of life and death very quickly. And God's people are falling asleep. Not Daniel. Daniel went to his friends and he understood this. Boys, if God answers, we live. If he doesn't, we die. Would you go to God with me and would you plead for his mercies? Boy, if you don't know where I'm going there, we've got problems. You know what I mean? Let me give you some things about this prayer meeting. First, answered prayer is because of the mercies of God. Daniel wanted all of them to desire God's mercies when they prayed. Daniel realized God didn't owe them anything. Do you understand that statement? Daniel realized God didn't owe them anything. He understood it would be God's mercy to them to answer their prayers. We need to apply this to our own prayer lives. Sometimes we can be tempted in our own minds to think we're worthy for God to answer our prayers. But this is a good reminder that only by God's mercies will he ever listen to us when we pray. God doesn't hear my prayers because I'm worthy. God hears my prayers because he's a merciful God. And may I say this to you, just like the Old Testament prophet, I think it was Habakkuk, said in wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. We learned first of all into this when Daniel called a prayer meeting that we go to God begging for his mercies, not on what we think we deserve. Secondly, under this, we learned the importance of and impact of united prayer. You know, Daniel didn't have to go to his friends. He could have prayed alone. But the Bible says he went to his companions and they had them unite with him to get a hold of God. This is a beautiful picture of God's children being as one in prayer, begging God for his mercies. Matthew 18, 19 says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. We're looking at this. What did Daniel do when his life was threatened? When it was a matter of life and death? I mean, it was a time to either do something for God or cower back in a corner somewhere. What's he going to do? Is he going to run away? Is he going to try to do it in the energy of the flesh? No. First thing he did is he showed faith in God. If you'll give me a little time, King, I'll show you the interpretation. He believed God. Then he went to his companions and said, boys, we got to pray. We got to get a hold of God. And by the way, when we pray, we just need to beg God for his mercies. Would you be merciful and show us? And we see that he wants these friends to be united with him. And you see a unified prayer meeting. Thirdly, you see here the importance of choosing the right friends. Amen. It was no doubt a blessing to Daniel. Get this now. Let this speak, especially if you're a teenager. Let this speak to your heart. No doubt it was a blessing to Daniel to have friends in Babylon that he knew could get a prayer through to God. Are you listening to me? Do your friends, do you have companions? The Bible calls them his companions. Are your companions those that when your life is threatened, you trust them to get a hold of God? By the way, if you have friends like that, you ought to get on your face and say glory to God for friends like that. But if you don't have friends like that, then you're around the wrong people. Get some friends, because this is serious. It's a matter of life and death. Our life is threatened. His life is threatened. And he had three friends that he knew could get hold of God. We learn this here. Choose praying friends, because someday you're going to need them. Amen. You're going to need them. Finally, we learn here, this is really just one major thought. He prayed, okay? I'm just giving some points of application here to our own prayer lives. We need to pray for God's mercies on our prayer life. Please, Lord, we know you don't we don't deserve anything you give us outside of hell. But if you'll just be merciful to us and answer our prayers. We learn from this to be united in prayer. We learn from this to choose the right friends who know how to get a hold of God. Finally, we learn from this that God does hear prayer, friends. He hears prayer. You see this in verse number 19. It says, then. That's a big letter. I'm talking about a big four-letter word there, then. Why is it there now? Then, when Daniel believed God, when Daniel pled for mercies, when they united together in prayer and they were going the same direction, begging God for the same thing, trusting God to answer, the Bible says, then God revealed it. You know what that tells me? God hears and answers prayer. It's interesting that Daniel didn't even know what was going on until his life was threatened. But even after that, the Lord did not reveal the secret to him until they prayed like this. I believe this book and the way God has led me to preach on this book is so applicable to our day and age. Because friends, if God's people do not unite and we do not plead for God's mercies and we do not believe God, it's over. You say it's doom and gloom. You know me. It's not always doom and gloom. You understand? But sometimes it's time to just stop sugarcoating things. We need God. Will you unite? Will you choose friends who know how to pray like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? You know what I would love to see happen at Buffalo Ridge? Glory to God. I'd love to see some teenage boys say, I want to be like Daniel. I want to be like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. If nobody else prays, I'm not going to wait for Brother Bob to call a prayer meeting. I'm going to call one. I'm going to call my friends, invite them over to my house. We're going to pray. We're not going to come over to play video games. Fooey on that nonsense. Let's get a hold of God. What about some teenage girls getting a hold of God? What about some singles? What about some couples praying? What about people starting having prayer, busting out everywhere at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, getting on their face, begging God for mercy? Would you please take care of us? Please send revival to this country. Please! Right now, the public school is being attacked. A Bible club at David Crockett High School is being attacked right now in our county. It's being attacked from a place in Wisconsin who has contacted a lawyer in our place, our city. And they're trying to get lawyers to go in and check out these Bible clubs because they don't want God anywhere in the public school system. Number one, they can stay in Wisconsin. Amen. Number two, we will fight this. We will fight it, and I'm going to fight it until God tells me not to. We have Bible clubs in those public school systems. And I'm going to tell you what's happening. The devil's attacking it. He doesn't like it. Let me tell you why. Because there's boys and girls who trust Christ in those Bible clubs. There's boys and girls who hear the gospel, who never may hear the gospel unless it's in the public school system where they're at. I'm telling you, it's time, friends. Hey, that's happening in Washington County, Tennessee. I was informed of that yesterday. It's in the John City newspaper. Have y'all seen that? You know what's going on. Now, what are we going to do? Oh, I hope it just doesn't get to us. Oh, this is the Bible Belt. Boy, I just hope, maybe it won't reach us. It's already here, friends. It's already here. What are we going to do about it? Get mad? Because I have a tendency to do that. You understand? Get mad, get upset. You know what God's telling me? Do what Daniel did, Jody. Get some friends around you who know how to pray. And get on your face and beg me for mercies. Amen or not this morning, friends? Are we going to do it? Are we just going to leave and say, well, that was okay? I never saw that before in that chapter. It's time we apply the Word of God to our lives. The Bible says in Psalm 65:2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Dr. Criswell said that this man Daniel lived one of the sublimest lives in recorded history. And the secret of his power is found in his life of prayer. God help us to pray like this. We need united prayer meetings. We try to launch those on Wednesday night, but I'm talking about just sporadic united prayer meetings. Not anything planned. Just get a burden for God to do something and call some of your closest friends and say, why don't we meet at our house? Why don't we meet at the church? And let's just get on our face and beg God to do something. Amen, friends. That's what Daniel's doing here. What he's doing here. Somebody said prayer is more effective than panic. Amen. Panic confirms your hopelessness. Prayer confirms your hope in God. That's a direct quote. Number one, he showed great faith in God. Number two, he called a prayer meeting. Number three, he blessed the Lord for answered prayer. Look at verse number 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, and for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what's in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Now here's the interesting thing. By the way, there's a lot of good doctrine in those. There's a lot of great theology in those verses right there. I mean, notice what he says. He says in verse number 20, he says, wisdom and might are his. Verse 21, he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise, knowledge of them that understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knoweth what's in the darkness. The light dwelleth in him. I mean, what theology's right there, friends. He's praising God. He's blessing God. But here's the interesting thing. His life's on the line. Wouldn't you think that some of us, as soon as God revealed the prayer, I got it. Thank you, Lord. King Nebuchadnezzar, I've got it. I can tell I'm out of shape when that wore me out. No, I'm just kidding with you. You see where I'm going here? He had the answer that would save his neck. But before he ever went to the king to reveal it, he paused. And the Bible says he blessed God. God's looking for people who show faith in him. God's looking for people who understand we need to pray. And God's looking for people that he knows when he answers will not run off in 4,000 directions, but will stop and bless his name for what he's done. Somebody said it's one of the most beautiful, one of the most wonderful and beautiful outbursts of praise recorded in the Bible. It gives us a view of God that makes for excellent theology. And Daniel's blessing the Lord. He praised the Lord for his wisdom, his power, his authority, his gifts, and his revelation. And as I've already said, it's interesting to note how Daniel first praised the Lord for answered prayer before he ever went to save his own life. Miss Lashley said this. She's here today. I appreciate finding things that she said. She said, and I quote, "We're quick to pray but slow to praise when the answer comes." One man said, "We ought not to be Christian in asking and then heathen and atheistic in thanksgiving." Whew. Psalm 50:14, "Offer unto God thanksgiving." Psalm 69:30, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving." Psalm 95:2, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving." Psalm 100:4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." What did Daniel do when life was threatened? He showed faith in God. He just believed God. He called a prayer meeting and they got serious. He blessed God for answered prayer before he ever went to the king. And I close with this thought, number four. He witnessed to the king about his God. Look at verse number 24. "Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men..." By the way, he's talking about himself right there in the king's eyes. "The wise men can't do it. The astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, they can't show it unto the king." But notice verse number 28. "But there's a God in heaven." Do you see that? Does that not light your fire this morning, friends? I mean, he's talking to King Nebuchadnezzar. He's talking to basically maybe the most powerful man on earth at this time. And he says, "Your men can't do it, but there's a God in heaven who can, that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream, the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth the secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret's not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living." See his humility? God didn't give this to me because I'm wise, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation of the king, thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. After Daniel spent time praising God, he went to Arioch and told him that he would show unto the king what he desired. Arioch brought Daniel before the king. The king asked Daniel if he was able to make known his dream. Daniel said, "No, I'm not able. None of your people are able. But my God is." Oliver Green put it this way: if ever a person had a right to be proud from the human standpoint, Daniel was that person. But Daniel was not interested in fame and fortune. He was God's prophet, God's servant, and the joy of his heart and life was to do the will of God. True servants of God have that same humble spirit. They're possessed by the Holy Spirit, who always point men to the God of heaven, the Christ of God, the Savior of sinners. Daniel didn't take this time to promote himself, but rather, he took this time to point Nebuchadnezzar to his mighty God. One man said, before Daniel recalled the dream and gave its interpretation. He's not even got to the interpretation. We're going to study that later. But before he ever gave him the interpretation, I mean all of that, he wanted Nebuchadnezzar to know that this wisdom was not of the world, but was of the God of heaven. He wanted Nebuchadnezzar to be fully aware that the capability of Daniel had nothing to do with the world's wisdom or any training that he had in Nebuchadnezzar's schools. When he said, "Your astrologers can't do it, you Chaldeans," he's saying this: you know all that knowledge you've been pumping into me? That has nothing to do with this, king. That's what he's saying. He's saying, "But my God is the one who has done this for me." Now, the point is during a time when life is threatened, Daniel used it to tell others about the Lord. times of greatest trial can also become times of greatest witness for our God who's been so good to us. You know what I was thinking about this week? I'm just about done. I closed my Bible, but don't you close yours, okay? If you don't mind, I can't command you not to. You understand? Would you please not, okay? I was thinking this week about Bible school. We had a great week. Wonderful week. You know what the Lord laid on my heart this week? Jody? Son? What the church spent their time doing this week, winning boys and girls and men and women to Jesus Christ, that's the answer, son. You know what the answer to all this is in our county, in our city, in our state, in our nation, in our world? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Daniel took this time. Do you see? By the way, I think this is going to be a pretty good book study, don't you think? Don't you think Daniel here, I mean, his life is threatened? I mean, it's not maybe, it is they're looking for me. They're looking for him. They're going to kill him. He doesn't even know what's going on. He sees the executioner. He walks up to him. This boy's crazy. He says, "What's going on?" With wisdom and counsel. They tell him. The king had a dream. He brought in the wise men. They couldn't tell him. And he wants all of them killed. That includes you, Daniel. He goes into the king's presence. A teenage boy. That's phenomenal. Most people think he's a teenager. He's a young man at least, okay? He walks into the king as a young man. King. Now here's the man that's after him. Here's the man that's commanded that you kill him. He looks him right in the face and said, "If you'll give me a little time, sir, I'll show it to you." Faith in God. The king says, "Yes, I'll give you a little time." He goes out. He finds his three companions that he knows are right with God and can pray. "Boys, we got a little time. It's a matter of life and death. If God answers, we live. If he doesn't, we're dead. We're gone. It's over with. Would you pray with me? Would you unite with me? And would you beg God for his mercies? Because only by God's mercy will he answer us." And they get together and they begin to pray. "Oh God, would you please show? We don't know what it is, but you do. Would you spare our lives? Would you help us? Would you have mercy? Give mercy, oh God." I don't know what all they prayed, but I know they prayed for God's mercy. Then God answered. Glory to God. God answered their prayer. And before he ever got up to go, he's like, "I can't believe you'd do something like that, Lord. Look how good you've been to me. You're the God of, you're sovereign. You're over everything. You change the times and seasons. You set up kings and put them down. You do all, you give wisdom and understanding. Bless you, Lord." Then he gets up and he goes to the king. There's the king in all of his array and all these kind of things. And he walks right up to him. And the king says, "Young man, are you able to tell me my dream?" "Your wise men can't do it, sir." He's talking about himself too there now. "Your wise men can't do it. Your astrologers can't do it. The magicians can't do it. Your teaching can't do it. But there's a God in heaven, sir, who shows these things to his people. He's my God, and he wants to do a work in your life." May I say this? God give us more Daniels, who even when life is threatened, just believe God. Call prayer meetings. Praise God for his goodness. And then goes out and tells a lost and dying world, there's a God in heaven. May the Lord bless this. I think he has. Because this is a message for this hour in our country, in our nation, right now in our county. And may God help this church to rise and realize, not in us, O Lord, not in us, but all in you. Let's beg Him for mercies. Amen this morning? Because if we don't, it's over. May the Lord help us with this. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You today. Thank You for this message. You're using this in my own heart. And Lord, how we just need to have faith in God. I say what the Father said in the New Testament, Lord, I believe, help Thou mine unbelief. And Lord, we just need to be united with friends and associates who know how to get a hold of God. And our people calling prayer meetings, begging God for mercy upon this church, upon this ministry, upon this nation. God, help us to get it. Help us to get on board. Light a fire under us. And Lord, how we need to take time just to praise You and bless You for Your goodness. And Lord, help us to see that the reason You work in our lives is so we can have something to tell to a lost and dying world. That there is a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. You've listened well today. I appreciate it. But as they begin to play through softly, do you know the God of heaven? Have you trusted in the Lord God of heaven? If you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, there's time for you. The God of heaven wants to become your Father. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, you're among friends. You're among folks who love you. And we'd like for today to be the day of your salvation. Is there one you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for anything on planet Earth. But you say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I don't know I'm going, but I want to. I desire to. I'd like to know the Lord God of heaven. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. In just a moment, we're going to give an invitation. And I invite you to come. You're among friends. I'll guarantee you one thing. You'll be glad if you did. You'll be miserable if you don't. And may the Lord help you. May God help you. Maybe today say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. But boy, God is using this message in my heart. Maybe it's just about faith in God. Just believing God. Or maybe it's about calling a prayer meeting with your friends and just praying more. Or maybe it's about just spending a little bit more time praising God. Or maybe it's about your witnessing for God. These are four bedrock truths that every Christian ought to have in our lives. Faith in God. Praying intensely for God's mercies upon our life and ministry, our family, our nation. To bless God for His goodness. And then to go tell the world about God. This is Daniel. Have you say, Jody, God's using this in my life. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? You say, God is speaking to me about this. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. That's many hands. Let me ask you this. Have you teenagers, whether you're a boy or girl, you're a teenager and God's really speaking to you about this. You say, well, I desire to be like that. I want to be a teenager like that. I want to be a young man or a young lady like that. God's really speaking to your heart about this. Let me just put it this way. If you're in the singles class, I'm talking about the one that's 25 below, including teenagers, 25 and below, a man or a woman, a young man, a young lady, and God's using this in your life, would you raise your hand? Be honest about this. You say, I'm a young man. God's speaking to me about this. God's speaking to me about this. Then let it start with you. See, all the others who didn't raise their hand, that's between them and God. But if God spoke to you, let it start with you. You instigate it. You start it. You ask God to use it. Now I'm going to invite you to come to this altar and ask God to help you to seal these decisions, seal these commitments. And when you come, you're helping others come who may need to know the Lord as their Savior. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it, I pray. Help us to understand this. Help us to get on our faces about this. Help young people, older people, senior saints to respond and help the one who needs to be saved. May today be the day of salvation. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you from the balcony all the way down, if God is speaking, would you come now? You need to be saved. You come now. You come now. You come now.
Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches over His own.
May the Lord help us here, getting a hold of God, getting a hold of the Lord.
He must prevail.
Do you see the importance of this?
Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
They're playing through your standing. You can look this way. Interesting that when our life is threatened, something major happens. What typically happens to our prayer life? It increases, doesn't it? Have you experienced that? I mean, we pray, but when really a burden hits you, you've got to get a hold of God, so you pray a little more, a little bit more intense. Maybe not longer periods of time, but more intense. You understand what I'm saying to you? All I'm saying to you is whether we understand it or not, we're under threat just like Daniel was. May not be our life, but our freedom. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, they're under attack now. And if Christians don't get serious about it, I'm not trying to paint a doom and gloom. I'm trying to tell you God can work in this. Let's not go around doom and gloom all the time. It's over with. There's no more revival. I mean, God's through working in America. If He is, then why is America still here? I'm telling you, God is still on the throne. He wants to work, but He's waiting on people like Daniel to get serious in their prayer life with God. Do you believe that this morning? Then let's say yes with our actions. Because I say amen to that too, but God's convicted me. Why haven't you done more, Jody? I want to do more. We need this. This will be our closing prayer. Nobody else comes. The altar's still open. This will be our closing prayer. Let's sing this together. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and sing this unto the Lord. And you're dismissed if nobody else comes, okay?
Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
You are dismissed.